Hey everyone,
this is Kim.
And this is Cal. You're listening to Shiny Things. So Kim, it's my favorite time of year.
Now you love the Halloween-y, don't you?
It is, and we're into October.
I love the fall. I think that's my favorite time.
It is. It's so pretty, and you get to be in warm, snuggly clothes.
It's almost like because the leaves are so pretty that even if it's cloudy out, it's bright.
Right. Yeah. Even right now, it's like, it's kind of, you know, overcast, but it's...
I love those red leaves. Aren't they pretty?
They're so pretty. So, I wanted to do some Halloween tales, and unfortunately this one's a real bummer, but I feel like we needed a story that gets some justice served to it, unlike
the last one.
Yeah, poor little Polly.
I hate that Richard Allen Davis.
He's a motherfucker. I hope that...
Don't get me wound up. I got real salty last episode.
I know. So,
I'm not normally like that.
No, you're usually really good. I'm usually the one that gets all worked up.
I couldn't help it, though. I got so upset. Like, I wanted to beat him into the ground myself.
And that judge...
I'm getting wound up again.
They should have let him get that fucker. Well, today... So, it's a sad story. But this is the story of the pixie stick cyanide killing.
I love pixie sticks.
Me too.
Hold the cyanide.
Yeah, I don't want that. I don't want what they're selling in that.
Yeah, you can keep that.
So it's Halloween, 1974, and these kids outside of a Houston suburb of Deer Park are all prepped and ready to go trick-or-treating because...
They're all wound up and...
Oh, yeah, they're...
not born yet.
I know.
He's such a baby.
But, you know, the kids are, you know, they're high on Halloween at this point.
God, I used to love Halloween.
Yeah, you go out in your pillowcase.
Pillowcase?
As I'll go to, like, four houses, and she's like, okay, I'm done.
I know Lauren used to do that, too. I'm like, I'm in my head, I'm thinking, you don't even got enough for me and Daddy yet.
That's what I'm like, no. I have this whole empty bag over here. You got to fill that one, and then we'll fill that one.
My dad used to tell me when he was a kid, they used to go out, do their trick-or-treating, and then go get a different mask and go out again. That's greedy.
I know, but still.
You know what I did? When I went one time, I got an apple from Mr. Nelly.
Oh.
And I threw it in that culvert pipe.
You threw it.
That's not awful. Why would I do something like that?
Because it gave you...
Why would I remember that?
Because somewhere deep down you have a lot of guilt.
And one Halloween, Daryl and Terry dressed me up like a prostitute. Ask Terry about it. She said there was a man walking and he had his money out, like following me. It's like, pervert. I'm like 12 years old.
Oh my God. Terry's definitely...
My family needed help.
We all need a little help.
Dressed me up like a prostitute.
I don't know what this little guy was dressed as, though. But it's so sad because little did they know, like, this was going to turn everybody's worlds upside down and Halloween as we know it. Because you always have, you know, all the urban legends and stuff.
Yeah,
but
back then they put cyanide in the candy.
Right.
When I was a kid, it was needles.
Oh, we have to x-ray that.
Yeah, that's what they used to do, too. That's sad.
I should probably... Nowadays, we should probably x-ray it.
Yep.
But friends, Jim Bates and Ron O'Brien took their kids out into the neighborhood. Everything was going smoothly until they got to this one house. And O'Brien took the kids up to the house. They knocked a couple times and nobody answered. And O'Brien was weird. He was, like, kind of blocking the doorway while they're standing back. And... then all of a sudden he was like, oh, look, they left pixie sticks. So he hands these pixie sticks to all five of the kids that are there. His daughter, his son, and the other guy's kids. And, you know, Like I said, they didn't answer. He gave them all away, and the kids were, you know, like, psyched. But pixie sticks are a weird thing to get as a trick-or-treat thing.
I would love to get pixie sticks.
Me too, but
And then you get a sick stomach from eating too much of it. Oh. It's just like Sweet Tarts.
Yes.
You eat too many of them, and it hurts the top of your
mouth. Oh, yeah. You get that burn.
Yeah.
The candy burn. So, it started sprinkling out, and the families turned in. Thankfully, the little town had an ambulance that was in the area, because soon after returning home, one would be called to the O'Brien home. So after returning home, Timothy and his sister were given the opportunity to have some candy before they went to bed. So Timothy chose the large pixie stick.
That's just what you want your kid to have just before bed.
Right? So, yeah, so little Timothy took the pixie stick. He ingests the sugary treat, and he starts to turn blue and complaining of abdominal pain and starts convulsing. So the ambulance was called to the home, and Timothy was taken to the hospital where he died later that night. And he was only 8. So days after the tragedy, O'Brien would be arrested under the suspicion for his son's death. But, you know, I just want to look at, you know, were there any red flags, like in that case last week? So O'Brien was a lazy motherfucker. He lived with his wife and the kids in Deer Park, Texas. They attended a Baptist church where he served as a deacon, sang in the choir, and oversaw the bus program. But one pastor even called him a good Christian man who was an above-average dad. I'm wondering if he
overcompensated.
Or would he have been saying the same thing if he learned what would later happen? So this waste of space, he was having difficulty time holding down jobs. So it's like, I wonder if this is why he saw his kids as money versus actual human beings. So over a 10-year period, this idiot had been employed by 21 different employers.
Wow.
21. And this was all before he hit 30.
Wow.
So, by the age of 30, he was on the brink of being fired yet again because he was, the employer was suspicious that he was stealing money. So, O'Brien's, like, $100,000 in debt. He's, at the time, only bringing home $150 a week, which
it doesn't sound like a lot at all.
No.
Even back then.
His car was also on the verge of being repossessed, and this is probably where he looked to find other financial relief. So, police quickly learned that O'Brien had taken out two $30,000 life insurance policies on each of his kids.
Wow.
So, this led them to believe, like, well, let's look at Timmy's death. So, because Elizabeth was fine, none of the other kids ate the pixie sticks. It was just Timothy. So, thankfully, they didn't eat them. And later they learned that O'Brien did this to cover up his tracks because he's a fucking piece of shit. But when that house they went to, he knew nobody would be home. So he had actually tainted the pixie sticks, purposely giving them to his kids so he could collect the insurance money when they died.
Oh my God, that's killing your own kid.
What a fucking dude. Oh, and it gets better. Like, you should hear this asshole. He's one I'd let everybody in the court jump over the thing. So, he had contacted a lot of chemical companies, and he kept inquiring where he could buy cyanide. Before the internet, but...
Yeah, but still.
Right. So, he's looking around for cyanide. There was... at that point, the cops were like, tag him, because this is enough to open up an investigation into the death. There's a fun fact about cyanide. Sometimes when people are poisoned with it, it goes unnoticed because only about 40 percent, 20 to 40% of the population can actually smell cyanide. It smells like bitter almonds. Hmm. It's like a very distinct smell. And most of us just don't have the gene for it. I do. I can smell it.
Deal with cyanide much, Kelly?
There's a time mortuary school. We'll have to do story time from the morgue one day.
Yeah, I'm sure you have a lot of stories I haven't even heard yet.
So, this piece of shit, they brought him to trial on June 3rd of 1975. He, luckily, was sentenced to death. And he was signed up for the lethal injection. So, here's what this fucking asshole had to say as his last words. "What is about to transpire in a few minutes is wrong. However, we as human beings do make mistakes and errors. This execution is one of those wrongs, yet doesn't mean our system of justice is wrong. Therefore, I will forgive all of you who have taken part in any way in my death. Also, to anyone I have offended in any way during my 39 years, I pray and ask your forgiveness, just as I forgive anyone who offended me in any way." Oh, it gets better. Oh, it gets better. "And I pray for God's forgiveness for all of us respectively as human beings. To my loved ones, I extend my undying love. To those close to me, know in your hearts I love you one and all. God bless you all, and may God's blessings be always yours. P.S. During my time here, I've been treated well by all the TDC personnel." That's his final...
He forgives everybody else, but no remorse for killing his own kid. Pucker up, because you're going to be kissing Satan's ass.
That's funny. So I said in my notes here, I was like, what a fucking jerk. And not one says they show any remorse over killing his own kid, over insurance fraud, or doing anything wrong for that matter. And I guarantee he is not going to a place with Pearly Gates and Q Angels.
Yeah, no. But what gets me is that he thinks that what they're doing to him is wrong.
Yeah, but what they're about to do to him is wrong.
But it was okay what he did to his own child.
Right.
Satan's like, let me have him.
Right? He's going to be like that Little Nicky movie. And in that movie, Hitler every day has to wear a French maid's costume. And they shove pineapples up his ass the wrong way. Like, spike side up. I hope that this happens for him, too.
I don't even want to think about that.
Well, this guy needs it. But he was successfully executed by lethal injection.
Well, that's good.
On March 31st, 1984.
Well, I'm glad that Governor Newsom wasn't there.
Right. Fuckface.
Yeah.
And well, I love how he's like, Jesus this and Jesus that. I'm like, God does not forgive you.
God don't like ugly.
You killed your kid, motherfucker.
What? I mean, did you forget? Where was the mother?
That was the thing. I didn't see any. Like, she just kind of went into hiding.
Maybe he killed her.
If I were her, I would have been like, peace, motherfucker. Taking her other kid and, like, never talked to him again.
That is craziness.
Just the thought of, like, I know, I'm sorry, that was really short. But, like, thinking about as the daughter, like, if she had eaten hers, they both would have died.
I'm surprised he didn't, like, encourage them both to do it.
Well, he may have...
Let it happen just, like, spontaneously?
That's what I was wondering, because it was like, he picks Halloween night, he picks a house that he knows nobody's going to be home, so he tries to pass it off like, oh, the boogeyman's out there, and he's poisoning kids' candy. But he wasn't that stealth.
You're an asshole.
That's why I know it's short, but it gives justice.
Well, yeah, because, you know, sometimes after the stories like last week's with poor little Polly, you need some kind of story that shows that, yeah, sometimes people really do get theirs in the end. They deserve it.
But like him, it's like lethal injection's too kind. Give him cyanide. Cyanide's not a cool way to die. It's awful.
I wouldn't know. But apparently you do.
Yes. It's like, It's like horror movie, like a picture of a rabid dog in a horror movie. And just like, you can't.
Oh, really?
It's bad. Like, you just foam
like
up.
Like rabies?
And, yeah, you just, but it's like, it just
eats you from the inside out.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
I think that's what Jim Jones put in the Kool-Aid. Or the fake Kool-Aid. It wasn't real Kool-Aid. He used the off-brand for Jonestown.
Oh.
I think that was cyanide.
That's Kool-Aid Man.
Why is the Kool-Aid Man following us this month?
I know. Last week and this week.
Oh, yeah.
You should get asked to dress like the Kool-Aid Man for Halloween.
My God, she'd be really good at it. Can you imagine the Kool-Aid Man, like, breaking into the room where they're putting him down? He's like, oh, yeah. I'm sorry, that's not funny.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, like, come on, dude. Really?
Crazy.
$30,000 is not a lot of money.
No. Maybe back then, but to kill your own child, there's, exactly. like, no money. You know, that should be, like, last thing on your mind.
No, that's like when you get hurt at work and collect, you know, workman's comp or something. You know what I mean? Like, find a scheme like that. When that's just hurting you, you fucking idiot.
Exactly. Why do you have to bring other people into it? So, Kelly, what episodes are you working on next? What are you interested in?
So, I really want to do the Cindy Song case.
Yes.
Because that's a Halloween-y.
Yeah, that's a big one, too.
It is, so I think that'll be our... We'll tag team that one, because it's got missing persons and unsolved.
And you know how
crime.
I like them.
Yes. And then, I'm not sure yet, we were talking about maybe the Heritage House.
That's pretty cool. I don't know how long it would be, but I don't know if you ever heard about that, but it's really cool.
Well, we could always put out bonuses, because this one's going to be pretty short, so...
Sometimes short's good. Sometimes people just want a little quick, shiny.
Right. And if we can give them little bonuses, because it's Halloween.
Yeah.
It's like my Christmas.
So we have another episode. Do you remember Jennifer Ross? I talked to her about her aunt.
Yes. Okay.
In her case. So she's going to come back on and fill us in on some of the things that's going on in her aunt's case. And that was Melissa Ross Griggs.
Yes, okay.
So if you haven't already heard that episode, you need to listen to that before you listen to the new one that's coming up in a few weeks. And I'm also working on a murder of a young mother and her missing child, Nicole Fitz, and her daughter, Adriana. So that one will be within the next month or so.
Okay.
So that I'm kind of excited about it. I like to look at that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Ooh, and we have another winner for our books giveaway. This week, it's my new sister-in-law, Aisha.
Wow, that's good.
She's going to be so excited because I was telling her about the book and she heard us talking about it. She's like, I really want to read that. And I was like, well, maybe you'll be the lucky winner. And I just happened to pick her name out of the hat.
Well, since you know this winner, maybe she'll read the book and she can give us like a short excerpt on what she thought about it.
Ooh, that's true. She does. I've asked her. She said she'd come on and
well, we both
hang out
love
with
it.
Us. Oh my God, that book was so good. So.
That was so easy. I felt, you know what? I felt smart. I know that sounds funny, but because I read it so fast, because my sister Darla was like a speed reader. She could read one of those Danielle Steele novels in like a day and a half.
That's my mom.
That would take me 3 weeks.
I get on a page and then it's like a word triggers something and then like...
And then you have to go back and read the page again because you got to thinking about what you're going to have for dinner next week.
Right. Or when should I break out the comforters or...
Man, my roots are getting bad. I need to dye my hair.
I do.
But anyhow, we got a lot of exciting stuff coming on up. And I cannot believe how close we are to the holidays.
I know. We should have saved some fun ones for the holidays, but...
We have fun ones coming up. Well,
oh, we did Krampus and everything last year.
But there's plenty of Christmas stuff that we can do.
Maybe you can find some more.
I'll tell you what I don't want to retire. At least not until after Christmas. The cootie bug.
And the Yule lads.
I love them. Let's just not retire. Like, I don't know if anybody, if someone that's listening now may have missed it last week, but we're going to be putting some of our episodes in the vault. So if you have any that you really loved or you haven't listened to, you better listen to them now because any day now they're going in the vault.
And so then the Christmas ones out for 25 years.
Wow, that's a long time. Kelly says 25 years. I'm thinking like a year. But
I'm going to Disney.
The
now.
Christmas ones, let's wait until after the holidays.
Yes.
And they were a new one, so take it easy on us.
Yes, because we're coming up on our anniversary.
Yay, one whole year.
We got to do something fun. COVID's kind of screwed us.
COVID sucks.
But look at us.
Can't do nothing.
I know.
I want to go to Vegas.
Me too.
Anyway, it's nice to dream. We'll put it on our vision board.
All right, guys. Until next time.
Bye. Bye.
Geico presents Monster Counseling.
Dracula, tell me how you're feeling.
No one understands how lonely it is. No one will even let me into their house. I knock and I knock, but they ignore me.
Uh-huh. What else?
I look in the mirror and I don't even see myself anymore.
If you don't see yourself clearly, can you really expect others to?
I'm having a breakthrough.
It's not easy to be a vampire. But with Geico, it's super easy to switch and save hundreds on your car insurance.